Welcome to the Max Living Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross. On this podcast, we have conversations about health. We talk about what it is, where it comes from, and really how you can achieve it for yourself and your entire family.
Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode on the Max Living Podcast. So Dr. Tracy, this week we are talking about path out of the pandemic. And I think this is the most important thing that we are going to talk about, not because of the pandemic, but because of the, I guess, value, the importance of this information, how we know this information will absolutely save lives. But I would say this, that it's radically different from maybe what's been outlined already. Okay, so I'll give you an example. The path out of the pandemic was something that was written by the White House, and they talk about it's a 7-step process to get out of the pandemic. And, you know, they talk about vaccinating the unvaccinated. Of course, that's number one for them. They talked about further protecting the vaccinated. They talked about keeping schools safely open, which you can't, tough to argue that one. Increasing testing and requiring more masks. Protecting our economic recovery. So they talk about the steps to get out of this pandemic, right?
Okay, but it sounds like all of these things are things that we have been told to already be doing.
Yes, yes.
And that's going to get us out of the pandemic.
Accurate.
Okay.
What I want to talk about this morning and what you and I have been discussing at large is, what is our personal response, our personal responsibility to get out of the pandemic, if you will. And I would say this, what is our approach when it comes to, call it getting back to normal, whatever. I don't even like that. In my personal opinion, my personal thought is that perhaps this COVID experiment or this whole thing has ended up being a gift.
Mm.
Because
yeah.
we know that, that there's a lot at stake. Mm-hmm. Whether it's our freedoms, our economy, whether it's our personal health, whatever. There's been a lot of enlightenment, if you will.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. This is our opportunity to start over, to do better moving forward.
But I think it's reminded a lot of people how important their health is. I think it's reminded a lot of people that your health is at the forefront, and it's also at the forefront of the economy. It's also at the forefront of public health, how public health can be so important that many people didn't know how important public health really was and the public health policies were. And I think a lot of people have woken up to maybe some industry influence into health and healthcare policies, pharmaceutical influence, and how tightly woven the FDA and CDC and the pharmaceutical companies really are. A lot of people woke up to that. I think it's the gift of COVID, if you will.
Hmm.
But a lot of people also recognize that my greatest asset, our greatest asset, is our health.
Yeah.
Is our health.
Yeah.
And now that we're here, the question really is okay, your greatest asset is your health, but what is health? The definition of health right now is whether you've taken a pharmaceutical product or not. One is considered healthy if you've taken a, you know, this pharmaceutical product, this vaccine, or not. And that's the definition of health. Not even about the immune system, or their immunity, or antibodies, or anything about that. It's whether you've taken this approach. And is that the real definition of health? Mm. And that's what I want to lead us off with. Is that the definition of health? What is the definition of health? Is it eating well and exercising? Is that all there is to it? You eat well and you exercise and you're healthy? Is it the way you look? Is it whether you carry around a vaccine passport or not?
Hmm.
Is it the way you feel? Because we all know people who feel great, who've been vaccinated, who look pretty good, and still got sick. And still, some of them even died. So what is the definition of health then? And that's the question that we're posing this morning. What is the definition of health?
Yeah, I think that it's pretty obvious, at least to me, that we can look around in our country today and say, when it comes to health, we're not doing great. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's 100% because we don't know what health actually is. We don't know where it comes from. So if we want to, like you said, take personal responsibility for our health, find our own path out of the pandemic, we have to start with a good understanding of what health actually is. And what I hear most often is when I ask people if how they know they're healthy, well, most people will give the answer that, well, my numbers are good. I went to the doctor. I did my annual and my cholesterol numbers are within normal range. My blood pressure, it's great. The medication is taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that all the time. It's managed by medication. But if your health has to be managed by medication, is it really great?
Right. And there's no shame if you're taking a medication, you know, you're on one. But we have to recognize that that's not the definition of health. As an example, cholesterol. You know, we started managing cholesterol, lowering cholesterol numbers, and yet what did that do to heart disease? The same number of people are still dying of heart attacks. They're dying just with lower cholesterol numbers.
Yeah. And is the goal to die with perfect numbers? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, to that point, most people, even if you're not taking medications, most people will judge their health based on how they feel.
Right.
That's what we're taught to do, really.
And here's the reality. You can feel great and have heart disease developing. Mm-hmm. You can feel great and you have cancer developing. You know, we talk about asymptomatic spreaders of COVID as an example. You can feel great and still carry around COVID. You're not infectious, but you're infected. And, you know, the funny thing about that whole conversation is that it goes back to judging our health by how we feel in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that's the root issue here is if you judge your health by how you feel, you're going to miss 70% of that which actually causes us to be sick right now, if not more.
Hmm.
For you to feel a symptom in your body, you got to realize this. You have to lose function over time, then you feel a symptom.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen right away, does it?
Think about this. Again, I'm going to go back to heart disease. You know, your heart can get down to function at 90%, 80%, 70%, all the way, let's call it 60% on average. And then you start to get that symptom of whatever that is. And many times the first symptom is actually the heart attack itself.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. The first symptom of heart disease, what is it? Most of the time, it's actually the heart attack, the very first symptom. You know, that's the pain shooting down the arm or whatever. You get down to a certain level of function though, and then you get a headache as an example. What are most people taught to do though once they get a symptom? Because we're taught to judge our health by how we feel, or that feeling and comfort and convenience is of the highest priority. So what do we then do? We then take something.
Instead of villainizing symptoms and trying to do everything that we can to get rid of them and feel comfortable, take a moment to honor the symptoms and recognize that it is such a gift because it enhances your trust in your body. Your body is always telling you, it's always giving you information. There's something you need to do about this. This is going great. Or you need to change up your practices here. You need to help me out in my healing process. But instead we choose to ignore it. We cover it up. Just like you would, talking about the check engine light,
mm-hmm.
put a piece of duct tape over your check engine light, continue to drive your car. No.
And I think we have to ask ourselves, how is that working out for us as a society to consider and care so much about symptoms, talking about the label, talking about the diagnosis, and it's constantly the focus.
Mm-hmm.
How is that working out for us? You get a headache, you take a drug. You have high cholesterol, you lower the cholesterol. You know, you are on blood pressure medications because your blood pressure was elevated. And we've been doing this for how long? And look at our health. Mm-hmm. You rank all the countries based off of health. We continue to rank dead last. Out of all the industrialized countries, we have the most money. We pay the most into healthcare system. And yet we have the worst outcomes. So consider that for a second. Best doctors. Most drugs, we're 5% of the world's population. We take now 70 to 80% of the world's drugs. We build the biggest hospitals. And that's the standard of living, allopathic medicine here, standard of healthcare. And yet we rank dead last. At what point do we say what we've been doing is not working? At what point do we back out and say, hey, let's take a bigger look at this? We don't need more of the same approach. We need a different approach. We need a totally different way of looking at this. And you are not going to convince multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar industries to back all the way out of what has been created. You're not going to convince them to do that. And if those are the people who run our healthcare, run our institutions of the FDA and the CDC and all the people who are supposed to be watchdogs over the proper utilization of medicine and healthcare, you are not going to get them to back out of it. You have to back out of it yourself. You have to do that yourself. It's a personal responsibility. It's a personal approach. It's a difference. And so what does that look like? Well, the first step in that is recognizing you don't manage symptoms. It's not about symptom management. It's not about putting a Band-Aid over that symptom. It's about getting curious about what might that headache actually be a sign of, right? What might be happening in my body that is causing my cholesterol to be elevated? It's working with somebody who can help you navigate this and help you know what the next steps are. You know, we don't all have to be experts on medicine, thank God. We don't have to be experts on all the different drugs that are out there, but we need to be in tune with our bodies and what our bodies are trying to tell us.
Yeah, asking those better questions and really investigating, getting to the root cause of the problem, that's how you're going to find true health.
That's right. And that's the approach we take. And like in our individual clinic, you and I, that's the approach we take. And yes, it is an educational process at first. Mm-hmm. It is. But I think when that person, I know this to be true, when that person is fully educated on their health and how to manage their health and how to correct their problem, they have way better outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very intentional educational because we want to make sure that you have all of the information you need to make the best decision for your health.
Right. And I do believe that people deserve to live a life free of pain and suffering naturally.
Yeah.
Naturally, honoring their body, looking for the underlying cause of their problem and being on a path to victory, because there is victory in health. There is victory in health. You have freedom when you have your health. And you don't live in fear. You don't live in bondage of the next disease or diagnosis or whatever that next label is. You have freedom because you understand your body and it's not working against you. You're working with your body. You're working with your body to achieve that health goal or that outcome or getting rid of that problem or whatever that is. You work with your body and not try to trick it into doing what you think should do at the time that you think it should do it. It's a very different approach. You can feel great and develop heart disease. You can feel great, develop cancer. It's not about feeling. I want to feel great. You and I both, we feel great. We want to continue feeling great. It's less about how you feel though, and more about how are you functioning? How is your body functioning? Body, mind, spirit, how are you functioning? And the World Health Organization used to define health as optimal functioning, both body, mind, and spirit. And the question really comes down, and what it comes down to, I think, is because you think about this, when your heart is functioning at 100%, you don't get heart disease. When your immune system is functioning at 100%, you don't get the seasonal flu. You don't get COVID. You don't get, even think about cancer. We have cancer cells in our body. Their only job is to seek out, surround, or we have cells in our body that seek out cancer, that destroy cancer. Their mm-hmm. only job is to kill cancer inside of our bodies. So when our immune system is functioning and those cells are functioning at their highest capacity, it's doing its job, right? It's doing everything that it can. And you've heard this concept of homeostasis, and some people might be unfamiliar with that term, but it's the body's innate adaptation to its environment to keep us in balance. You know, the temperature outside goes up and what happens? We sweat, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have to think about sweating, but we sweat to keep us in balance. And you think about how our body's constantly doing that. It's adapting to its environment. This homeostatic term is the body's innate adaptation. And our body is always doing that constantly. And so how does this relate to like what is health? Well, if you're talking about optimal function, you have to then look at what controls that adaptation. What controls the body's response? What is the most important system in the body right now that controls health, all healing, all functioning, all regulation, all adaptation. And this is the part that I think is the missing link in healthcare. And the problem that I believe is very overlooked in the system that I think is completely neglected in modern medicine. The most important system in the body, what do most people think that the most important system is in the body? When we ask that question, hey, what do you think the most important system is in the body? What do most people say?
Most people would probably say cardiovascular, my heart. Mm-hmm. It's important.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right. Most people say my heart because heart disease is the number one killer.
Yeah.
By the way, number one killer. Cancer is right behind us. So some people will talk about the immune system now because of COVID. They'll talk about how important the immune system is. Some people say hormones, how hormones are vitally important. Well, let me ask you something. What controls your heart? You know, what controls your immune system? You know, when you're, think about this. If we had a fresh cadaver here, just a freshly dead person, right?
Okay.
Okay, just follow this for just for a second, this line of thinking. If you cut that cadaver's leg, is that leg going to heal?
No.
No, but it still has all the immune properties right there. It has all the red blood cells. Everything is intact right there. The heart is still there, right? If we took that cadaver and we fed it supplements like, you know, I don't know, CoQ10 and curcumin, and we gave them B vitamins and fish oil and vitamin D, is that going to have any impact on a dead person's body? What if we just injected it right in there? No. Why? Because
it's not alive.
It's dead, right? Mm-hmm. It's dead. The brain is off.
Yeah.
So when the brain stops, you stop. So the most important system in your body is which system? It's your nervous system, brain and spinal cord. Your brain and spinal cord controls everything. For your heart to be beating, for your lungs to be breathing, for that cut to heal on the leg, information has to start in the brain and travel down the spinal cord, goes over the nerves, every organ, every signal. We run on electricity. We are electric on the inside. We vibrate on the inside. This is what's happening inside you and I. And we neglect the one system that controls all health and healing inside of the body. We neglect it completely. You think about it, we go to our annual physical. If you do an annual physical, we check the heart, we listen to the lungs, we do the blood work and the white blood cells, and we check all of that. But who's checking the functioning of the nervous system? How well it is adapting to its environment? How well it is responding? How well it's working?
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things that's overlooked that I see, is that people spend their entire lives addressing each individual part of their body. They have digestive issues, so they look at all of the different components of the digestive tract and try to find problems with that symptom or with that system. And then when they do get symptoms, well, the best that our healthcare system currently mm-hmm. can do for us is medications to address those symptoms, to look kind of myopically only at that one individual part and treat it until they run out of answers. And yep. The problem with that is when we're picking apart the body, when we're treating one system at a time, we're not actually getting to the root cause of the problem. If the problem is in the nervous system, no one's going to find that at an annual physical.
That's right.
So that's why we do deeper investigation. That's why we start there. And that's why so many of the people that we see, they get such great results. Right. Because maybe it wasn't a problem with the digestive system. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't a problem with the heart. Mm-hmm. Maybe the actual root of the problem is lying in the nervous system.
That's right. That's right. And I'm going to toot our own horn for a second. It's why we see miracles.
Yeah.
You know, what medicine and others would consider medical miracles, we see those types of things on a regular basis. And it's because we start with a very different approach. We look at the nervous system and we say, the nervous system is controlling all health and healing inside of the body. It's vibrating. It's electric. And we don't want that system to be diluted, if you will. We don't want that system to be hushed. We don't want that candle to be, you know, not burning at its brightest. And so we look at that and we look at the areas that are being interfered with, the areas that, let me use a different word than interference, those areas of dysfunction, those areas that are not working optimally, the causes of why that would not be electric or at its most electric. And we look at those different areas and we say, okay, that's a problem. Regardless of the symptom, that there is a problem. And when you correct that problem, what you start to see is not just that symptom improve, but then you start to see their life improve. Mm. And that's why you hear people when, you know, they start in the clinic and they're like, they came in because they had headaches as an example. And then you start removing the interference or helping that person manage that better. And when I say manage that, meaning getting better in their life and helping that path of victory, all of a sudden now they're sleeping better. All of a sudden now their sinus or allergies are not as bad or they go away. Mm-hmm. And you start to see these types of things, or they're like losing weight and they haven't necessarily been trying to lose weight, right? It's because their body's working better. And because we're working with the one system that controls all health and healing, which is the nervous system. That's why you have to look at the bones, the spine, because that's a shield of protection. That's why we look at the alignment of the spine and to see where the bones are positioned, where it's not in good position, where the nerves that are being damaged, and ultimately how that's influencing and affecting the rest of the body. You look at the spine and you think about what that means. You have 24 individual movable vertebrae that surround and protect the brainstem, the spinal cord, and the individual nerves. And it's got to be straight from the front. When you're looking at yourself in the mirror, look to see if your shoulders are even. Look to see if you have a head tilt. Look to see if your eyes are even. Look to see if your ears are even. Look to see if your belt line is even from left to right. Do you have one hip that's higher than the other hip? A lot of people are walking around with hips that are completely out of balance. And some of them know that and some of them don't. Some of them know my left hip is way higher than my right hip because I was in an accident or because I was in whatever. I have scoliosis. And it's not about just recognizing you've got a problem. It's then what do you do about it? You know, it's what are you right. doing about that? So it should be straight from the front. And posture is great. I mean, you can see a lot with just posture alone. But getting deeper into that, posture is just a window into the spine. The best possible way to actually see what's happening there is full spine x-rays. And not just looking at, hey, does this person have a fracture or a break? Or does this person have a big curve? No, you want to look at the individual alignment of the bones. That's why we measure, when we take full spine x-rays, we measure it down to the millimeter to see exactly where the spine is, how it is shifted, where the nerves are being damaged, how that's related to this individual person's problem. When they first walk into the clinic, regardless of symptoms, it's, hey, where are the areas of dysfunction? And ultimately, how can we have this conversation to make sure this person is on a path to victory, right? This person wants health. Let's look into the one system that controls all health and healing first before we get into any symptom management. You know, like you and I both have talked about this, that it's not appropriate to manage symptoms. However, this person doesn't want to be in pain, right? This person.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you to be in pain.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in pain either.
Yeah, I want to be very clear that we care about symptoms.
Yes.
We care a lot about your symptoms, but we know that in order to get symptom relief, we have to start with the root cause of the problem. We have to figure out where those symptoms are actually coming from. That's the way you're going to get symptom relief that's not just temporary, but mm-hmm. is going to be a long-term solution for you.
That's right. I'll give you an example. Lady walked in with debilitating migraine headaches, right? Nearly every day of the week, nearly every day of the week, debilitating migraine headaches, mm-hmm. right? And I know some supplements that can probably help reduce her symptoms, right? I know those supplements could probably help reduce the symptoms. However, if I were just to give those supplements, her body will then adapt to that. And the body will eventually start needing more and more of that. And eventually it's not even going to work. And what's going to end up happening is that she's going to continue living on that path. And it's going to be an alternative to medicine. Instead of, let's look for what's actually causing this. 99% of the time, migraine headaches that continue to come about, the root cause of that is in the upper cervical spine. So the upper cervical, so that's in your neck, the upper part of the neck where the neck meets the skull. Mm-hmm. And some people, if they feel behind their ears, they're going to feel like, you can do this if you're listening, like you can feel behind your ears and you might be even a little tender there. If you have headaches or know somebody with headaches, do this little test. Put your fingers right behind your ears and you're going to feel, hey, is that tender? You know, those bones feel like they're in the proper position from left to right. You know, when I go to move my neck, do those bones move evenly from left to right? I turn my head all the way one way, turn it all the way the other way. Is it moving evenly? Can I see both sides of my shoulder equally? These are just good tests initially that do indicate whether you have an alignment problem or not. 99% of headaches, it's an alignment problem in this upper cervical spine that is never checked medically. So this lady walks in, constant migraine headaches every single day. I mean, you can imagine what that is like. If you know somebody with headaches that can't be in the light, happens to be in the dark, just not functional at this point. Walks in, nervous system examination. We find she has misalignments in the upper cervical spine. So again, where the neck meets the skull. We show her exactly how to correct that, how to get on the path to make that better. Start adjusting her spine, giving her rehabilitation. So when I say adjusting the spine, it's helping to get that back in better alignment and then giving her very specific exercises to do at home that help to hold that alignment. And sure enough, she goes from headaches nearly every single day to she gets one right before her cycle, right? And that's where she is. And that's been just after what? How long has it been?
It's been 5 months.
5 months. Mm-hmm. And she's had headaches for how long?
Her whole life.
Her whole life. Mm-hmm. So a lifetime of headaches, 5 months of care, and here she is. And I think about how many people are walking around with their symptoms who have no idea where their symptoms are coming from. They think that's their new normal, mm-hmm. right? That's what they're going to be dealing with because that's who they are. They've now identified with their symptoms, their diagnosis, and that label, and that's their new life. And it does not have to be that way. Hey, I want to let you know about a new and exciting feature that we have to answer your questions. You've got questions, maybe we've got answers, and we've got a great way for you to submit your questions. So what you do, you have questions. Maybe it's about your health. Maybe it's about supplements. Maybe it's about next steps that you need to take, or you have just questions about something you heard on an episode. What you do is you go to dr-wilson.com, click on podcasts, and you can record your customized message right there. Keep it under 90 seconds, and Dr. Tracy and I will answer your question on upcoming shows. So go to dr-wilson.com and submit your audio question and listen for your answer.